Hello there, and welcome to the Cory Doctorow podcast. If I sound a little muzzy, it's because I'm sick. I managed to go through 2 weeks on tour, shaking hands with innumerable swine flu carriers, no doubt, without getting a hint of a sniffle. But as soon as I got home and was exposed to my very ill daughter and very ill wife, I got their cold. Which, you know, frankly, it's hard to get upset with them over since they had to endure it without my help while I was away gallivanting around the world meeting all of you folks. So I guess it's just justice. So it's another day and another podcast, and I'm going to be reading to you a little bit more from Makers. I hope you had a lovely Thanksgiving weekend, those of you in the United States of America. I spent the intervening week since the last time I spoke to you doing the corrections for the Win. This is my next young adult novel, for which I have some advanced review copies now, just a limited supply before you get all hot and bothered. I went through it and killed all the typos I could find and did all the edits, which I've managed to finally finish. The other thing I've been working on lately is the Boing Boing annual gift guide. This is our second annual gift guide, in which I solicit from my co-editors their favorite reviewed products for the year, and we put them together in a six-part best of that includes fiction, nonfiction, gadgets, kids' books, media, and art and comics. And as I read this to you on Monday the 30th, the last part is about to go up. That's the comics part a little later today. And then I'll probably do a roundup later this week with links to all of the previous gift guides as well. My only other news is that just about the time I finish this podcast, I'm going to do a little more work on Martian Chronicles, the story I'm reading to you again, and then I'm going to go off to see my doctor and find out what the heck is going on with my back. Those of you who follow the podcast know that I've had problems off and on with my back. I've had some limited success with yoga and weight loss and stretching and physiotherapy and acupuncture and osteopathy and various other treatments, but at the end of the day, it's getting worse and worse. It's a kind of sciatica piriformis thing, in case you're interested. And I had an MRI, which they've sent me the DVD of, and I got to watch. I got to literally fly up my own ass, which was very science fictional. And now I get to find out what exactly is going on back there with my screwed up lower back. And I'm kind of excited about it, frankly. There's been a lot of theorizing done by various practitioners who've laid hands on the problem and felt around. But no one's had a good authoritative answer as to what the hell is going on back there until now. And now we've got some images. So I'm looking forward to seeing more about that. Well, there you have it. I'm going to read you a little bit of Martian Chronicles, my young adult Mars story for Jonathan Strawn's Life on Mars anthology, which is late. Sorry, Jonathan. And then I'm going to write a little more of Martian Chronicles, and then I'm going to go see my doc. So I hope you enjoy it. Here's some Martian Chronicles for you. Okay, an admission. I'm not much of a Martian. Martians are supposed to be full of colonial pluck, ready to grab Earth's neighboring planet with both hands and headbutt that mother into submission. We are the winners. Humanity's best hope for surviving once stupid Earth is used up by the povs and the stupids. We're all rich, of course, and that's how you know we're winners. We didn't whine like all the povs who claim the world owes them a living. We made our own fortunes on Earth, and now we're off to set up a new planet that'll be as great as Earth could be if only you left all the whiners out. But I'm not much of a Martian. I'm not much of a winner. I guess that makes me a loser. Here's the thing. My grades are okay, B's and B-minuses, except for a C in American history, which, honestly, I deserved. I think I slept through more than half of those classes. I would have given me a D-minus. Here's the thing. I'm not the popular kid. I'm not even the popular kid's best friend. I'm the kid that the popular kid's best friend used to play with before he made friends with the popular kid. I'm not picked last for teams, but I'm last picked from the kids who aren't total spazzes or fat or handicapable or whatever. Here's the thing. The only place I'm not a loser is when I'm playing Martian Chronicles, the Mars colony game that I've lived, breathed, eaten, and shat for the past 5 years. The reason for that is that I am a stone Martian Chronicles monster freak. I can play MC for 18 hours without coming up for air, bringing it with me to the toilet and the table. There's something that just fits in the game, which sounds kind of boring from the outside. You are a Mars colonist and you have to build your homestead, sell your wares and services, work to elect sympathetic officials, or become an official yourself, and try to get your neighbors to see things your way when it comes to the day-to-day running of Ares City. Boring, right? Wrong. The game is all about figuring out what everyone else wants, and how to make them feel like they're getting it, even though you're really the one getting what you want. I have a huge fortune in MC. I'm a Ray Gun millionaire. The Mars Inc. company script, our money, is called the Ray Gun, or the Martian Ray Gun if you're feeling formal. There's even a Ray Gun on every bill, stylized and old-fashioned and cool. Not real money, but I know that if I can do it in MC, I'll be able to do it on Mars, and then I won't be a loser anymore, and I'll be a real Martian. I am self-aware enough to know how pathetic this sounds, and I'm pathetic enough that I don't care. The Eagle took on her passengers after 3 long hours stuck in the Eagle's Nest mustering hour. For a group of no-whiners, there was a lot of complaining about the strange, lengthy time stuck there in zero-G. Not technically zero, as orientation had reminded us, just microgravity, but I couldn't tell the difference. Waving back and forth in the air recirculator's breeze like a bed of sea kelp, they whined about the wait. They whined about the line for the toilet. Then they saw the toilet, a kind of giant vacuum cleaner you stuck your whole ass into, and they whined about that. The only ones who weren't whining were the kids who were hanging from the ceiling and the adults who joined us. We were having too much fun in upside-down land to worry about the toilets or the wait. And there was plenty of room on the roof. "What's your corp?" the girl with the violet eyes said, with no preamble at all. She was asking about Martian Chronicles, specifically what my corporate affiliation was in-game. That is, which team I played for. "Oglethorpe Corp," I said casually. She had thrown up on the shuttle, too. I could tell by the flecks of dried puke down the front of her shirt. She nodded sagely. "I hear good things about it, but isn't it a hard company to ladder up in? Super competitive?" "I don't really need to worry about that," I said. "I'm the CEO. It didn't come out as casual as I'd hoped, because I caught someone's floating gelatinous sneeze in the eye as I said it, and ended up twitching and flinching away. She cocked her head at me. "If you're lying, I'll find out about it as soon as we get to our cabins, and then I'll spend the next 6 months making fun of you." I held up 2 fingers in an obsolete Boy Scout salute. "I swear by Ares, god of war. May he strike me down with, lightning?" I wasn't really clear on what Ares, the Greek name for Mars, did in the course of his war godly duties. "Okay, that's impressive." "Seriously," said a voice from a few centimeters over my head. I looked up and found Vijay floating in space just above. Okay, I'm going to stop with the above and over and below quotes. There was no up or down, okay? "That is fantastic. Really top hole." He'd taken off his light jacket and twisted it into a rope with one of his Velcro gloves safety pinned to the end of the sleeve and stuck to the bulkhead's surface. In effect, he'd created an anchor line, and he was using it to fly around in the middle of the room like a superhero. Violet's face twisted up like, "Who's the Pav?" And I said, "This is Vijay. He flies, apparently." Vijay stuck his hand out, and she took it. "Helene Gonzalez Ginsburg," she said. "I'm Brian," I said, feeling like I was falling behind. "Brian Oglethorpe," Vijay said, inches from my ear. "I should have made the connection when you told me your name. Well, that is interesting." "What corp do you work for?" Helene said, pointedly. "Oh," he said airily, "I work for the Auditor General." Now it was my turn to boggle. The AGs were one of the exalted heights that every player secretly aspired to. They only recruited players with absolutely, positively impeccable reps, and gave them the power to kick open the doors of any corp, any meeting, go over its books with a fine-tooth comb, and confiscate any money that wasn't properly accounted for. They could take away your corporate charter, bust your character down to the bottom rank. You didn't get to be an AG without playing long, hard, tight games that made you a lot more friends than enemies. I was pretty top dog, but Vijay was a minor god. Whoa. "Work for," Helene said. "What does that mean, work for? You snitch for them for money?" "No," he said. "I am a senior auditor." We both boggled. A bit of drool actually attained separation and liftoff from my lip, forming a glossy sphere that drifted off toward one of the air recirc vents. Senior auditor. He wasn't just a god. He was a major god. Suddenly, I felt very self-conscious. Vijay could buy or sell us all 10 times over in MC. And then I realized that I could probably buy or sell VJ 10 times over in real life. It's a kind of nasty, ungenerous thought, but it made me feel better. And worse. Of course, he said, that's all just for another 3 months. Okay, this is where I have to interrupt. Some of the physics in this story is wrong. I realized it halfway through. I haven't gone back and fixed it. Please ignore the giant physics error that I'm about to commit. 3 months. Turnaround. In 3 months, we'd stop boosting away from Earth, and the ship would spin around and start slowing down as it approached Mars. In 3 months, we'd be closer to Mars than Earth, and the light speed lag will have hit a brutal 100 seconds, making the game almost unplayable. So in 3 months, the ship's network array will cut over to Mars, and we'll all start fresh, new characters on the Mars servers. Yes, Martian Chronicles is big on Mars. Yes, they actually play a Life on Mars simulator on Mars. Except, of course, on Mars, it means something, because the best lessons learned on Mars server are actually turned into policies for Mars government. In 3 months, we'd all start over as noobs in the Martian Chronicles. And 3 months after that, we'd touch down and we'd all be noobs on Mars. I was abandoning Oglethorpe Corp. VJ was abandoning his position as senior auditor. Thousands of hours flush down the toilet. Who do you play for, Helene? I said. She grinned, not looking at all shy anymore. Well, I'm a raider, she said. We both drew back from her involuntarily, and I lost my balance and ended up standing on my head for a moment while I sorted myself out. A raider? They were the scum of Mars. They'd borrow a giant amount of money and use it to buy up the majority share of a corp. Then they'd vote that the corp should take on their debt. Then they'd sell off the corp's assets to pay the debts, leaving behind a hollow shell, sucked as dry as a bug in a spider's web. It was great for the investors who loaned the raiders their initial stake. They could take millions of player hours worth of work and turn it into a nice fat bank balance for themselves. Was it legal? Well, no one could send you to jail for it. And it was an open secret that some of the biggest corps had been founded by or had bankrolled raiders. If an auditor caught raiders in the act, he could bust up the party, but that was all part of the game. That didn't change the fact that I was instantly tempted to punch Helene in her movie star nose and then push her out the airlock. She giggled. Oh, there's 10:30. And Reaper Bomb playing on the, or Edelweiss rather, playing on the old cuckoo clock. Edelweiss, na 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 na. She giggled. You should see the look on your face. Come on, it's just a game. They always said that. Besides, maybe I'll change my ways when we hit Apogee. Start clean on Mars as a goody-two-shoes corporate worker bee. VJ nodded. And maybe I'll be a raider, he said. I swallowed. I wanted to say something like, I will be a CEO. I have always been a CEO. It's all I ever wanted to be. But it's just a game didn't allow me to say anything like that. There was one place in the world and off the world where I wasn't a loser, and that was in the Martian Chronicles. I'd come to grips with the fact that I was going to have to abandon my beautiful, perfect corporation in 90 days, but only by promising myself that I'd start building a new corp on day 91. It's just a game, I said. Well, all right then. That's enough for today. Talk to you later. Wish me luck on my MRI. You've been listening to the Cory Doctorow Podcast, licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Sharealike, US 3.0. Or as Woody Guthrie put it in another context, this song is copyrighted in the US under Seal of Copyright 154085 for a period of 28 years, and anyone caught singing it without our permission will be a mighty good friend of ourn, because we don't give a dern. Publish it, write it, sing it, swing to it, yodel it, we wrote it, that's all we wanted to do. Many thanks to John Taylor Williams for mastering. That's Ryneck Studio, Ryneck Studio at gmail.com. John Taylor Williams is a full-time self-employed audio engineer, producer, composer, and sound designer. In his free time, he makes beer, jewelry, odd musical instruments, and furniture. He likes to meditate, to read, and to cook. Talk to you next week.